Hey y'all, let's take a look at Matthew chapter 12, starting in verse 15. Jesus, aware of this, withdrew from there, and many followed him, and he healed them all and ordered them not to make him known. This was to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah. Behold my servant, whom I have chosen, my beloved with whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he will proclaim justice to the Gentiles. He will not quarrel or cry aloud, nor will anyone hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not quench, until he brings justice to victory, and in his name the Gentiles will hope. In the immediately prior scene, Jesus has had a clash with the Pharisees over their interpretation of Sabbath. He's fulfilled the Sabbath by bringing blessing and relief to people, refreshing to people, but they're offended because he has violated their reputation, violated their interpretation of the Sabbath. And it was in that context that they immediately began to plot his death. And this scripture says that when Jesus heard about it, he withdrew and continued to minister to people and told them not to tell anyone. And this really should stand out to us and be remarkable. Jesus did not stay and prove them wrong. Surely he could have with his power, his intelligence, kind of just torn the whole Pharisaical house down. But instead, he just continues to do good on the margins, as it were. So he didn't stage a showdown. He didn't debate them, although we know he's perfectly capable of debating them. He withdrew and continued to bring the good things of the kingdom to those who came to him. And most remarkably, he doesn't say, and listen, I've healed you, now I want you to go back and show the Pharisees and show them how wrong they are. Show them the miracle that I did for you and prove it to them. He doesn't do that. He doesn't draw attention to himself. He doesn't try to build a movement. He doesn't try to use his charisma to draw people to him. This, I would suggest, should stand out to us as the opposite of the way anybody would build a movement in our day, the opposite of the way of the human spirit, and it's the entire manner of Jesus' ministry. In so many ways, he goes right the opposite of what we would do if we were building a movement or a business or something like that. He did not win followers by force and charisma, but by quiet blessing. That's his entire manner. And that's why, as we turn, it quotes this Isaiah passage. And this Isaiah passage, I would say a couple things about it. One, it is a description of Jesus' whole way of being, his whole manner of ministering. And it's also an unpacking of what Jesus has already said. I'm meek and lowly of heart. I'm helpful and generous and gentlemanly to those who are heavy laden. You come to me and I will help you find a way of living that is full of life and easy with my help, and not something that's burdensome. So this is a very important passage, and I would suggest there's kind of three sections to the passage. The first speaks of the Son, my servant, and it speaks of God's pleasure in this servant. It speaks of him being the one that God puts his spirit on, which is an Old Testament way of saying, I've chosen him for my task, and I've empowered him to carry out my task. And I've sent him to proclaim justice, to proclaim goodness. Well, this evokes several things. My son or my servant evokes the suffering servant of Isaiah, this mysterious figure who will carry human burdens and not just be this victorious, powerful figure, but one who identifies with the weak. I'm well pleased with him. That should remind us of Abraham's love for Isaac and God's asking him to offer him up, which of course points to his offering of the Son. It should remind us of Jesus' baptism when the Father said, this is my Son in whom I am well pleased. And even in that scene, the Spirit came down. So all this speaks of God's commissioning of Jesus to be his agent for setting the world right. But then it transitions and it says, he's not going to quarrel or raise his voice. He's not going to draw attention to himself. He is not screaming and shouting. He doesn't come to argue with people. He doesn't come to to win in debate or this sort of charismatic style of persuasion. Again, he's not going to draw attention to himself. He's simply going to declare the truth and do good to people. Those two phrases, a bruised reed he does not break, a smoldering wick he does not snuff out, this is a very beautiful and poetic way of saying that when he finds people who are weak, who are less than capable, who are, we might say, less than promising, he treats them with gentleness. He doesn't come at them with force or intensity, but he moderates who he is based on who they are. It's essentially speaking of weak and struggling people, which is precisely who Jesus continually ministers to. Jesus doesn't minister to the firm reeds that aren't about to break and the blazing candles. He ministers to those who, in our eyes, would not look promising. And it's, again, this is his whole manner. He moderates his strength to their frailty and their weakness in such a way that they can handle and receive what he offers them. So what we see described here is incredible because it's this quiet revolution of treating people with respect and inviting them into his life-giving way, not compelling them into it, but graciously inviting them into it. And then the final section, it says that the nations will hope, the Gentiles will hope. This, by the way, also goes all the way back to Abraham, that God, to whom God said, I'm going to bless all nations through you. Jesus is his descendant. And I would suggest that this whole passage is saying part of the reason the nations hope in Jesus is precisely because of his meekness and his lowliness, precisely because he's unlike any human leader that we've seen to date. He doesn't come with force and charisma and the power of his personality. He comes with graciousness and kindness and an ability to really help people who are struggling. That is precisely what makes his message so powerful. In the beginning of the passage, it says, he will proclaim my justice to the nations. This goes back to the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus proclaims the blessing and the goodness of life in the kingdom. This goes back to his invitation in chapter 11, come to me, you who are heavy laden, and I will give rest for your souls. May we learn to come to the gentle and lowly one who offers a way of life and gives the grace to unpack that way of lives in our daily lives. And may we be like him in our extending of that invitation to other people. Amen.